Kovavi, I like.
Okay.
So Cherry Chuva, but it's only once a week, so hopefully it'll fill up.
So you just don't listen. Yeah. Just don't listen for a month.
And then listen for the minute.
Okay. Good evening, gentlemen. We continue the Rambam. Perek Chaf. Halacha Yud Beis. Chapter 20, Law 12. In the Mazanayim text, page 132 and 133. With God's help, we'll finish Perek Chaf. And we will be, believe it or not, about 40% through this volume. So you can already start thinking. Maybe 3 months from now, we're going to finish this. So
and that's the end of Shabbos.
And the Shabbos. We're moving, guys. We're moving. When did we start this Shabbos? Pesach? You have the date. Okay, you let me know. Okay? It'll take him a few macro seconds to...
Then you can email it
to the rabbi. It'll take 7 touches on the machine. Three.
I have to...
Okay, fine. Anyway.
All information is only 7 touches away. Is that the 7, touches of separation?
Okay. Yud Beis. So we're talking about different animals, and there are no new pictures, Rafo, because I checked these ones.
Yeah, I wanted to see these ones.
Okay, anyway. Hazcharim, we're talking about different things that are put onto animals that you can or cannot go out with. So Hazcharim, rams. Yotzim, ba'or, hakosher lahem al zachrusim. They can go with a leather strap that covers their male organ. Why? To make sure that they don't hop on top of the women animals on the ewes and, get involved in things of that nature. So that's for protection that they don't do anything. And also, ubaor hakosher lahem alibeim, and the straps that cover their hearts. Why? So wolves shouldn't attack them. I guess when the wolves attack, they go for the heart. So it's a protection for their heart.
March 16th.
Okay.
What are we talking about? What does this have to do with anything?
Animals, what can they carry on Shabbos? An animal's not allowed to carry.
You said within 2 years, by the way.
I said within 2 years. We'll do it within 1 year. Yeah. See, you guys are smarter than I thought. Good, Baruch Hashem.
Than you thought. Well.
Than I expected. Than I expected.
It's There's good. No way to get out of this, Rabbi. It just says go to the keep going.
It was good. It was good. That's even better.
It's a teacher. It's just a teacher.
Pleasantly gratified. So anyway, yeah, we'll finish it by March 16th for sure. Anyway, so why? So that, in other words, both times it's for protection. So that is allowed to go with that.
It's protection of the animal and for what it could damage.
For what it could damage, exactly. And also they can go with uvematlonios hamurukomos shmiyapinos obahem. And with various matlonios are pieces, cut pieces of garments of cloth. That could maybe look nice. They're woven and whatever. It looks very pretty. To make them look pretty. Embroider. The animals look pretty.
Put now, on
why?
Embroidered.
What? Well, whatever. So the Ravid argues on this. Says, wait a minute. Didn't the Rambam tell us in Halacha Yud Aleph? In the very Halacha before, it says the animals don't go with things on their horns to make them look beautiful. So what's going on? Now we're putting these little nice little materials on the animals to make them look beautiful? So that he argues with that. So others contend to answer the Rambam that it could be, it depends, is this beautification accepted in the animal world or not? And then it'd be considered more like a garment. So here, it's more accepted as a decorative item. And over there, it was something that was not as accepted as a decorative item. That's one answer.
So you have to ask a ewe.
That's right, exactly. The what do you call it, the veterinarian or who knows about animals. Other Mephorshim give an answer that an ornament that an animal wears during the week is also permitted on Shabbos, and that's what's over here. But over there, the ornament was only written on Shabbos, which is not acceptable. And then the Or Samech gives an unusual and an original interpretation. He says that something be an ornament, it makes an animal attractive to a person, that's what's forbidden. But if the ornament makes the animal attractive in the eyes of other animals, then that's permitted. So go figure out which ones make it attractive to other animals versus making it attractive to human beings. Interesting mahalach.
What about a little doggy with a sweater?
So according to the Or Sameach, that would not be acceptable.
For warmth.
No, so then that's different. If it's warmth, then that's b'chol a different issue here. What if it's just for ornamental use? The owner feels gratified that his little doggy has a Toronto Blue Jay sweater around it, you know, so that doesn't do much for the dog.
Yeah, because the other dogs usually don't support the Jays.
Yeah, so. I know. So that, so, like so, so that, that would be a potential difference as well. Okay.
It's getting a bit rough, isn't it? You can't take it out because it fell off.
Well, these things are not going to fall off. Also, obviously, these all of the things that don't usually fall off. The question is it considered a garment or an ornament? Then you can carry it. There's two issues here. Is it considered a load or an ornament or garment? That's one distinction. Second distinction, would it fall off or not? Here it's not an issue of falling off. It's just, is this a garment or not?
So a garment is not allowed on an animal?
Yeah. No, it is. It is. If it's what it needs to wear to make itself look beautiful to other animals, then that's okay.
Warmth
is for sure allowed. It's for sure allowed.
The animal,
the animal needs it. An animal can wear clothing just like you wear clothing. Right? That's not... Caring means you're carrying a burden. Something that is ornamentally accepted or for warmth is not a burden. Okay, now next. V'horchelos and the ewes, the females, yoitzes, they go out, v'alish on their fatty tail in the back, either k'shur l'mala, tied up, exposing itself, l'mala gavan, tied up on their back, kidei shiyalim, so the males can connect with them, or okshur lamati, tied below, kidei shelo yalim, so the males do not connect. That's your form of birth control, deciding yes or no, so that you can tie them up. Okay,
that tail down means no.
That's right. So that you can tie them up.
There's a sock on the doorknob.
And that's for their protection or for their pleasure, depending. Or, but it's for practicalities. We're in the middle of Yud Beis.
Well, you just said that the ram can't. There's no rams allowed to go out to be able to copulate with them. Why would you leave? I don't understand.
Well, but there's times you won't tie them up when you do want them to copulate with them. I guess in certain times of the year you want them, and certain times you don't want them.
You
scare me when you do that.
But I don't understand. You said the rams may not go out. May go out with his wife.
Everybody can go out. So far, everybody can go out. We haven't forbidden anything yet.
Oh, they can go out.
Everything is allowed so far. Okay?
I see.
Also, okay. These youths, the yotzos melupafos, bimatlonios, they can go covered up with cloths, kadeshi at semer shalamnaki, to keep their wool clean. They want to keep their nice wool clean. The owner wants to make, so that can be done as well. Okay. Next, ha'izim, goats, yotzos, they can go out. Vidadehem kshuros, and their udders are tied up. Kideshi yavish mencholav, so that their milk will dry out. And that's more of a permanent type of thing. The Mephorshim saying, why would somebody want to do this? It could be done to change the goat's hormonal balance so that they will conceive faster. Which you tie them up so they can't nurse,
right.
So the milk dries up. Now they can conceive and become more fruitful.
They're fertile. The fertility.
So that you can do because that covering is very strongly attached. It's not likely that it's going to fall out. However, avoling sharon kedeshal yetzah cholav. But if you tie on to their udders so that the milk doesn't go out. Achiago sol erev till you milk them at night, because usually you milk the goats twice a day.
Okay.
Twice a day. On Shabbos, you can't milk them.
Right.
You can't milk them. So there's going to be an abundance of milk and they may leak. So you don't want that to make a whole mess. So that, to put that covering on, hare elu loyet, you can't go out that. And the Mephorshim is saying why? Because those aren't tied on so tightly and they could fall off. If you fall off, you might carry them. Okay, go speak to the goat industry.
So we're not concerned about whose benefit this is for.
No, but there's nothing wrong. It's not considered a load. It's not considered
a
load. It's a routine thing. It's not a burden for them. But the question is, could it fall out or not? That's the issue over there. Yud Gemel, Romans of the Promised Land. Ein chamor yotze ba'ukov. A donkey cannot go with a saddle on top of him.
Right.
Because it doesn't warm him up. Like other things, like the marda'as, the cloth over it, which is to warm up. A saddle, you can't go. That is a weight. That's totally a weight. You know, you tied up an Erev Shabbos. That is totally a burden. It's not clothing. It's not warming him up. It's totally a carrying. A horse does not go with a fox tail tied going down between his eyes. Why? So shvino ayin hora. There should be no evil eye cast on this horse. So you can't go with that.
Do we use that today?
I don't know. The lobe is zahoris. We don't use the zahoris. That's a type of silk that's dyed red for beautification. And and this is not one of the accepted beautifications. So therefore, it's not considered a garment. Shebei none of that's between his eyes. V'lo teitza behema be'krastal shebepio. The animal cannot go with a little feeding bucket in his mouth. You know, when you have the animals and you want to make it, you feedback. Love your, for the animal has everything. Put a little feedback right by his mouth, so he shouldn't never have to bend down to eat the food and stretch his little neck, you know, trying to get down to the ground. It's going to be mamish very close. You just go and eat it like that. So you can't go that because that's obviously carrying. It's not a garment. It's not keeping it warm. It's not a beautification. It's Tom. He's carrying food. So you can't do that on Shabbos. Philip is sandal shibaraglo, and not with a certain type of a shoe that covers the whole foot, so it shouldn't get dirty. Here the decree is because it may fall off, and then you would carry it. Veloba kamea, and not with an amulet, she'ena memum chalabayim. That's not from an expert animal spiritual veterinarian. In other words, just like a human being, they have a little amulet go around them for spiritual ward off spirits. So we learned before by human one, it's got to be done by an expert who's already writes properly exhibited amulets. So they guess that there's amulets for animals. You don't want to have any bad luck to the animal. So that'll be an expert animalistic Kabbalist who has written these kinds of things. Wow. Because then it is considered ornamental and beneficial. Although that can't, so you can't go if he's not from an expert. Not from an expert.
Is there a list? Is there a sort of a certified list?
Yes, look in the yellow pages.
COR. COR has
one. Anyway, yeah. Okay, but what it could do is, it could go with a dressing over the wound, or with two pieces of wood that is tied up around a broken bone,
splint.
A splint, very good, so that it shouldn't be able to move it till it gets healed. It also, I don't know why, if its placenta has dragging out from it, it can also carry that, because I guess it's part of its body.
Excuse me, I'm going to
okay.
be sick. Just
okay, clothes. Now we discussed, remember before we said, out in the street, you can't go with a bell, even though you plug up the bell. Remember we said you can't go that? But if you're in a chutzer, in a courtyard, but if you plug up the bell, and it's attached to the animal, it can stroll around in the chutzar, in the courtyard. Because then, remember, the problem was we were suspicious of a guy that has a bell, you're going to take it to the marketplace. People suspect you can take the marketplace on Shabbos. That's only us if you're taking it in the public streets. But it's in your courtyard, you know, well, then we're not thinking you're going to the marketplace. You can put a blanket that's not tied up to an animal on Shabbos. Remember, we learned last time that the blanket that's not tied up, we're afraid it could fall off. But here it's just, if it's just strolling along, in the courtyard, that's okay. Finally, but you can't put that food trough again that you put by its mouth, even in a chutzer, you can't do that because that's totally, it's only for pleasure and it's totally not allowed. Okay. Now, this last halacha is departing from the typical cases. We talked about worrying about what your animals done, but we haven't talked anything about your slaves.
Oh boy.
And there's another, just like you have to make sure that your animals don't have to rest on Shabbos. And if you want a good shot on the animal resting on Shabbos, listen to my Parsha class today. We talk about the mystical understanding of why your animals must rest on Shabbos.
Just so you know, we got it relinked up. So the
and Martin is 100% on the
and
ball.
And right now
man.
It's being loaded onto the website. So God,
everything
by the time
is
you're home,
up. You can either do it on Martin's audio, video, or on Kosher Tube's audio. Either way.
No, the other way around, actually.
Video, Martin's audio. Right. Okay. Anyway, but it's a good board over there. Okay, Yud Daled. So it's a little bit different topic now. Very easy. Just like a person is commanded to make sure that his animal rests on Shabbos, so you're commanded to make sure that your servant and your maidservant rests on Shabbos as well. We'll have to discuss what kind of servant we're talking about. Obviously, it's not talking about a Jewish servant and maidservant, because that's obvious, because a Jew himself has to make sure he doesn't work on Shabbos. So that's not what we're talking about. We'll see in a minute. Now, there is a point he makes, though. But these are normal, intelligent people. And when a non-Jewish slave does something, he's doing it for himself, right? Yeah. He's doing his own thing. He's, driving a car on Shabbos or whatever. So what's your problem? He's doing this thing. No! That's the mitzvah. Mitzvah aleinu l'shamrim. We are a mitzvah to watch them, ulamanim, and to prevent them as siyas malach b'shabbos and not doing work on Shabbos. Why? Shenemar, because the Torah says, Laman yonuach, so that they will rest. Who? Shorcha, your ox, v'chamarecha, your donkey, v'yinafash, and to rest. Ben amosecha, the son of the maidservant, v'hagir, and the stranger.
Why didn't it say the son of the maidservant rather than
okay, well, whatever. That's what it says. So anyway, so that is the servants. You have to be careful not to work the servants. So now, what kind of servants are we talking about? So, Eved va'amashanamutzavashvasam, what type of servant or maidservant are we commanded to watch so they don't do any work? Heim avodim, this is going to be the typical Eved Kanani. Heim avodim shemolu v'tovlu l'shem avdus v'kiblu mitzvus avodim shechayim v'hem. We're talking about, this is only in Eretz Yisrael, where you have a servant who has been circumcised, has gone to the mikvah for the sake of servitude, not for the sake of juvitude, and has accepted around himself the mitzvahs that a slave is commanded to, which are equal to the commandments that a woman is obliged to do.
Right.
In other words, when we lived in Eretz Yisrael, and you captured, you have a Canaanite, if they were willing to circumcise, that means they want to be moral people, that's all issue of circumcision, and they wanted to go to the mikvah, and they want to be good servants belonging to Jews. I want to be a Jewish servant that will take me out of the curse of Chum.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I will do all the mitzvahs that a woman is obliged to do. They're not Jews, but that's the kind of servant we're talking about. That's a servant you have to make sure that he does not work on Shabbos.
So the female servant is like the female Jew, Jewish
woman. Well, she doesn't have to be circumcised.
Right. No, but for the...
She's like a female Jew. Yeah. Exactly like a female Jew, but she's non-Jewish. So that's the ones we're talking about. But servants that did not circumcise and did not go to the mikvah, they've only accepted the seven Noahide laws to live in the land of Israel with those. They're considered like a ger toshav, which means a citizen stranger. There are ger toshavs who aren't servants to anybody, but they're ger toshav. But here it's a guy's a servant. In other words, not every servant was ready to make the jump. All of a sudden, oh, good, circumcise me. I go to the mikvah. I'm going to do all the mitzvahs the woman does. They say, you know, let me try this out a little bit. Give me a little trial period. So the trial period is, okay, do the seven Noahide laws. Try that for a year. Okay? And then if you can manage, then we'll move you ahead. And if not, you just won't be a servant of ours. The main issue here is the following. If a goy is a servant in your house, he better live a pretty moral, principled life. That's the kind we're talking about. And in Eretz Yisrael, these were the strict halachas that had to happen. So these guys, who are like the ger toshav, that's not the ones we're talking about. We're talking about servants that went to the mikvah, circumcised, that do all the mitzvah a woman does. That's the kind of servant that has to keep Shabbos, not other kinds.
Was there any benefit to
that? And this other one, who only has to do seven mitzvahs, mutarim lasim malach b'shabbos, they could do work for themselves. Not for a Jew, obviously, because that's other rabbinic things, but they can do it for themselves. All right? So now that really changes the whole scope of the thing. So now, what about if you have a maid in your house?
They can do it for themselves.
They can do whatever they want, because yeah. They're certainly not even close to any of this kind of... They can't do things for you that are prohibited, but if the nanny's in your house and she wants to watch television, let her watch television. As long as it's in her house, not bothering you, you're not... Because she's just a worker for her own self. And she's not working for you when she's watching television. You don't own her. So that would be allowed.
So how is it okay for her to work for you on Shabbos?
Let's leave that for when we get into the later halachas. But,
it's like a rabbi working for Shabbos.
Again, they can do things as long as they're not prohibited activities.
Right.
You're allowed to set the table on Shabbos. They can set the table
food preparation,
for you on Shabbos.
Cut vegetables
and you're paying them at a different time. Is that's not a problem. The problem is they can't do things that you're not allowed to do.
They can't cook a meal.
That's when there's a problem. So anyway, these other types of avodim, who are like a ger toshav, right? They can do work on Shabbos. befarhesher publicly, kisrov achol, just like a Jew could do it on the weekday. Now, however, ve'en mekablin ger toshav elizman sheyovel nog. You only can accept a citizen ger, as not a ger, but a ger toshav, only when what? When it's the times of Yovel, which we don't have anymore, the laws don't apply. Why? But, now the Rambam ends off with one question. Okay, so what have we covered so far? We covered the servants. Yeah. Now there's a number of type. When we use the word ger, how many connotations do we have for a ger now? Hmm. We have a ger who's a real convert. Right. A real convert, that would be a Jew.
Right?
A ger tosh, a real convert. Does he have to keep Shabbos?
Absolutely.
100%. Don't you need a special pasuk for that?
No.
The ger who's a ger toshav, who's not your servant of all, he doesn't have to keep Shabbos, right?
He just can't reverse
Shabbos. Now, let's go back to that pasuk. We said the pasuk says, who has to rest? Your ox, your donkey, your maid, your servant, and the ger has to rest on Shabbos. Which ger are we talking about? If it's a regular convert, that's a regular Jew. If it's the ger toshav, he doesn't have to keep Shabbos. So who's this ger that the Torah is saying, no, he's got to rest on Shabbos? That's what the Rambam ends off over here. The ger toshav was in the halachas of Shabbos. Since we had ger toshav, a citizen resident, he could do his own work on Shabbos. The ger tzedek, and a righteous convert, meaning a Jew, harei kisrolech, it's like a Jew and all things. So, but me never, who are we talking when it says, v'yinifash, he should rest, ben amasecha, v'hager, the ger should rest. Who's we talking about? We're talking about the nanny. Say ger toshav shehu lekito uschir shel Yisrael kamo ben amaso. Talking about a ger toshav who has hired himself out to the Jew to collect things from him in the field or rents himself out. So he's renting himself by the hour like a servant. Shel yasa malacha li Yisrael rabba b'Shabbos. He can't do work for his Jewish master on Shabbos. That's what it means. It says, and the ger should not work, meaning not his own personal work, but work for you he cannot do. Avolas, but work for himself, all he can do. Vafilo ha yahager azehavda, even if that ger was your servant, but he's doing his own private work, hareis osa as, he's doing his own work, that's okay, but to do work for the Jew, he may not do it unless it's work that's permitted to be done on Shabbos, and that certainly he can do.
So if you in other words, someone like a foreman for your fields.
Foreman of your fields cannot work on the fields on Shabbos.
Right. Clearly.
But he can light a cigarette for himself on Shabbos, and he can come in your house and serve you dinner.
But this is only,
you've paid him for specific work that cannot be done on Shabbos, and for him to do that work for you on Shabbos is what the Torah is not allowing.
Is this the righteous?
No, it's just a regular ger toshav. Yeah, righteous goy. A righteous goy. Exactly.
Right. I'm just curious. Son, the ger who went to the mikveh and all that.
He's obligated for Shabbos.
Is he at such a level that he can turn on the oven for cooking? Like, do we trust him because he has those restrictions on him?
No, he has to keep all the laws of Shabbos.
No. I mean, in general.
It's an Indian of Pasakum.
I
think that might be a machlokes. I don't know.
Does he get anything for taking this on?
Does he get anything? He gets closer to Hashem.
But does he have a place in Hashem? Because he's doing more than the seven Noahide laws, but he's not a Jew.
He's up there a little bit more.
Even closer to
he's a little bit more than a garment.
In Shemayim, he has a...
You remember the...
He's a little more than a Shemata. Right, remember that was all night at
the stadium.
Second section of the book.
Do you remember we learned that at Shavuos night, that whole thing?
Remember?
At the coffee shop.
We did it all over again.
What's a boy's position on the Mahaba? Like a garment that you wear.
Shemata.
Yeah.
Right, so that's what he is. So the goy who's the Eved Kanani, who already went to the mikveh and circumcised, and he's doing all, so he has a higher level. He'll have a little bit more. Not that he has a Jewish soul, but he's a little bit further along. Okay, let's begin the next chapter. So we're now moving into a new area completely. We're finished with carrying. I know you're very sad to say goodbye to it, but we now move into a new area. We're going to talk the next four chapters. Is going to be rabbinic prohibitions for one of two reasons, where biblically you may do this, but rabbinically we're not allowed to do this. And we get an introductory halacha in halacha aleph. Nemar b'Torah, it says in the Torah, tishbos, you shall rest. The Torah says, sheshes yomim tase masecha, 6 days you will do your work, ubayom hashvi tishbos, and on the seventh day you will rest. So what does it mean that you will rest? And it's not the first time the Torah has mentioned that you rest on Shabbos. Right? It's already told us before, Sheshes Yomim Tasim Otachav Yom Hashvi Yishabas Alekecha, right? That 7 days you work and the six days you work, 7 days you don't work. So what does it tell me to rest? It told me not to work already. Of course I know you have to rest. So it teaches us, Afilu Mitvarim She'ena Malacha, even things that are not an overt Malacha, still Chayav Lishbas Ben, you have to stop doing them. In other words, Udvarim harbe hem she'asher chamim. There's many things the rabbis prohibited you from doing. Why? Mishum shvus, because of something called shvus, resting. Mehem dvarim asurim ipnei shem domim l'malachas. Some of them are because they look very much like a malacha. In other words, if you're going to do this, people can think you could do a malacha because it looks so much like the malacha. Umehem, and there's another one, dvarim asurim gzeres shemayom mehem isher skila. You might come to do an actual malacha that would come with the stoning punishment. The Elohim, and this is going to be the list that we are going to go through from. In other words, and the Rambam later on goes even further, and but this seems to be the two main things. It looks like a malacha, so if you're going to do this, it almost looks like you're doing a malacha. And number two, if I do this, I may certainly come to do another malacha. Now the Rambam adds later on in Perek Chaf Dalet, Halach Yud Beis, Rama says, you know, we got to make sure that Shabbos does not look like a weekday. And therefore, because, you know, really, there's a lot of things you can do and not technically violate the Shabbos. You could move all the furniture in your house the whole day long. You could pick up huge, heavy couches from the basement all the way up to the top floor. You can rearrange the whole house the whole day long and you won't transgress biblical avera.
In the shul, too, we do.
Right? Yeah, no. The difference being it's for Shabbos needs, that, yeah. Right? But in other words, you know, people can sort things out. They can hide rocks and do all kinds of things. And you're going to spend the whole day with things, but not Shabbos. And certainly the way we've been explaining Shabbos for the last 2 months, the whole point of Shabbos is to focus, step back, try to get close to Hashem. You ain't getting close to Hashem by schlepping furniture all day long, right? So that would be also part of called shvus. So shvus is a kind of shvus means rest. There's one thing of don't work. Because that working gets you totally involved in things that are taking you away from Hashem. But then there's this whole aspect, not only not to not work, but you got to rest. You have to ensure that the sanctity of Shabbos is descending upon you. And that's only when you're not doing anything that approximates that kind of activity.
So we're not just talking about resting from creation, which is the normal
right.
interpretation, but just physical rest.
Anything else that will take your mind away from meditating and pondering what Shabbos is all about. And, of course, the other things the Rambam says, it could lead you to do Averis. That certainly would be something that is awesome. So now, just like when he went through the first time around, he went through the 39 different Malachas, and went through the actual Malachas, so what's the Rambam going to do now for the next four chapters? He's going to go through most of the 39 Malachas, but look at the rabbinic issues that are behind these 39 Malachas. So let us do one of them. Halacha Beis. Okay, give you the full half hour today. So now, plowing is a biblical prohibition, right? So now, how about things that look like plowing or tantamount to plowing? What about that? So koha mashvegumas. If a guy, what does he do? He flattens out holes. In other words, you're straightening out the ground. Okay, you're leveling off the ground.
Greatly opposite from plowing.
Okay. Well, no, but what is plowing? Plowing is any improvement of the ground.
Right.
The bottom line is called an improvement of the ground. So you're not totally improving it, but you're getting awfully close to it. Okay? So any of that, hareis a chayev mishum choresh. You're going to be chayev because of choresh, because of plowing. Okay? So you're leveling different crevices in the ground. So that is close enough to choresh that we say it's chayev. And if you do that in the field, it's plowing. If you do it in the house, it's called?
Building.
Bona. Good. It's called building. Lafika, therefore, now that you can't do. You can't do that. That itself is choresh. That's a tolada of choresh. That's like,
right.
You know, it, but that's biblical.
What is
that? Is biblical. Just flattening out the ground. That's can't, you can't do that. That's not, that's down. Biblical. That's a tolada. You can't do that. We already discussed that. That's good old choresh. That's a tolada of choresh. But now because of that, there's going to be rabbinical things you can't do. Lafika, therefore, also lihipanos bisteyanira. You can't defecate on a plowable field on Shabbos.
Oh boy.
Why? Because when you defecate on that, Zera, we decree Shema Yashugus. You may flatten out the earth. You might want to cover up what you've done, cover your tracks, as it were.
And you may carry the shovel.
Right? So therefore, there's all kinds of these things. So you do that, you may flatten it out. Right? Okay. Usher lehipanos, right? Next, hamafana. What if you empty out? What do you empty out a storage room on Shabbos? Let's say he needs this stuff in there for mitzvah. Let's say he's got to take a bunch of barrels of wine out. There's a big simcha on Shabbos, and he's clearing it out. And you're going to clear it all out. Keep going, for example, these things out, what the mitzvah is. You're bringing in guests, or you're going to be making this into a base medrash or something. So you want to clean out the whole storage room. So it's a big one, obviously. Lo yigmar's kol osu. You don't do the whole thing. Why? Shema yavol hashvus gumus. Because you may come to straighten out, flatten out the crevices that are over there. The Rambam discusses that. He says when you move out the contents of a storage room, you're likely to find some cracks and crevices on the ground. And therefore, the rabbis are afraid if you're going to see it, you're ready, we're going to fix it up. So therefore, there it says you can't empty it totally. If you empty it out partially, all right, still there's some mess over there. You know, this idea, once you cleaned it all out, now it's cleaned right, let's make sure it's 100%. So that's rabbinically, we don't allow you to empty out the storage room, lest you'll fix
up
the cracks.
Is that only if it's a dirt floor, or that's even today, where you, let's say you have an aluminum
let's just say right now we're talking about dirt floors, to keep it simple.
Start sweeping
next. Teat. Mud. She'al gabi rag, it's on your foot. You're walking in the house, you want to take the mud off your feet. So makan chobakoy, so you could scrape it against the wall or bakar on a beam. That's not a problem. Avalo bakar, but not on the ground. Don't, you know, do it on the ground like that to get the mud off. Shema yovel hashvus gumus, because you could flatten out the ground directly from that. Right? And you're going to directly do it right on the ground. You could straighten it out. Velo yarek bakarka, v'yashuragu, you shouldn't spit on the ground and stamp it into the ground. Shema yashvus gumus, you might flatten it out again. Umutra, on the other hand, lidros, Harok shall gavakar, but to step, you see there's spit on the ground, and you're stepping over it, and you, even if you know you're stepping on it, but let's say you just want to walk, and you're going, well, hopefully if you told me you're just going, because that's the way I'm going, you're walking the street, okay, so some spit over here, I don't plan on squishing it into the ground, I want to walk. So that already is something that we've said is ainam iskavein, it's not your intention to do that, and you're doing normal activity, and that would be permitted.
So if you're walking in a dirt path and you happen to get your feet muddy, what are you supposed to do?
Then you go when you get to your house.
So you can't do a thing. You can't
go in and
not on the grass.
On the grass, because then you may flatten it out.
Mm-hmm. You can do it on cement.
Will flatten it out, and that is already clear.
You can do it on cement though. On the sidewalk.
Cement would be a different thing because you're not flattening it out over there.
You're not allowed to walk on the grass on Shabbos.
I didn't say you can't walk on the grass. As a matter of fact, you can walk on the grass. Nothing wrong with walking on the grass. You're not planning on flattening the ground. That's the idea. You're not planning on flattening the ground.
What if you do as a reality?
That doesn't matter. That the flattening is something you have to do with intent. I intend on flattening the ground. I'm intending to go across the field. That's what I want to do. If my step happens to flatten it, that is totally, I'm not interested in that, and that's not high for that.
Same applies with snow.
Right. Rabbi Chanani ben Akash, Amar Otsa Kodesh Baruch Hu, Zakas Yol, Figer, Herbert Herbert, Shenemar, Anach Vesman, Sitko, Yagel, Torvi, Adir, Rabbi Skadish, on page 52.